Good morning. As was announced, the reading will be from Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father.
Good to be with you this morning. We appreciate everyone's presence. As always, if you have any questions about anything that we do, then just let us know. We'll give you a Bible answer for your Bible question. One of the signs that we certainly live in a land in which we are truly blessed from a material standpoint is all of the many delivery services that we enjoy. It's really quite amazing that we have so much at our fingertips. And all we have to do is make a call or push a few keys on a keyboard and we can have almost anything delivered to us. Everything from fast food to even a car rental will be brought right to our homes. You just think, for an example, if you want a pizza, all you have to do is make a call and within 20, maybe 30 minutes, you'll have a fresh, warm pizza delivered right to your front door. No more getting into the car and driving to the pizza place. You don't have to waste time or gas or any of those things. Just simply make a call and it will be brought to you. And you just think of all the many things. We can even go grocery shopping online now in your favorite grocery store. Most of them will bring you your groceries. And that's not even to mention things like Amazon. You can order something from another state or sometimes even across the country. And in just a couple of days, usually, they'll drop it off on your front porch. We truly are blessed with regard to that. That is a luxury that not everyone across the world enjoys. But we enjoy that. And of course, the delivery service is a lucrative business because we love to have things delivered. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about a different kind of delivery. I want to talk to you about God's delivery service. Now, his delivery service is a little bit different. And that doesn't mean that he won't deliver things to us. He certainly will. You remember James says that all good and all perfect gifts come down from above. And then he later said, we have not because we ask not. Meaning that through the avenue of prayer, God will deliver all kinds of things to us. Jesus said himself in one place, ask and it will be given to you. But when we think about God's delivery service, we recognize that he not only through the avenue of prayer will deliver things to us, but more importantly, he will deliver us from things. You remember the psalmist in Psalms chapter 34 at verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's really the kind of delivery that I'm talking about. God delivers us from all kinds of things. And of course, the most important thing of all is he delivers and he continues to deliver us from sin. So let's look at a few things along those lines. First of all, God has delivered us in the past. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and listen to what Paul said. He showed confidence in God's delivery service. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 8. You're probably familiar with this passage. Paul was at some point in danger while he was in Ephesus. We're not told all the details about this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in the verse is 8. The Bible says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, he says, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. And so Paul was absolutely convinced, whatever the situation was, he was convinced that he was going to die. He and his companions were in a difficult situation, and from a human standpoint, he simply couldn't see a way out. We had the sentence of death, he says. But, he goes on, that was to make us rely on ourselves, or not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Think about that. That whatever this delivery was, to Paul, it was like being raised from the dead. But he says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. What a great passage that is. Paul was delivered from this deadly situation wherever it was. And so he was sure that even in the present day, as he went through things, that God would deliver him from that. And so he had confidence that God would deliver him in the future. And we can have that same confidence because God delivers us. He constantly is delivering us. In Colossians chapter 1, you might remember at verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. God is in the delivery business. And may I suggest to you that this is not a new business. God has been delivering people for a long time, hasn't he? We have story after story in the Bible, the time when he, of course, delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a fiery furnace. And then he delivered Daniel from the dreadful lion's den. And he delivered Peter, you recall, from an inescapable incarceration. And who can forget the time when he delivered Paul and Silas from that dark dungeon in Philippi? He's been delivering people for a while now. But most significantly, he delivers people from sin. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Who has delivered us from what? From the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We should understand the seriousness of this power of darkness. The truth is, all the sin that's in the world, every violation of the will of God comes about because of this power of darkness. Every murderer came about because of the power of darkness. Every crime, every crook that has ever existed, they did what they did because they're under the influence of the power of darkness. And the truth is, all of us were at one time under the power of darkness. We were slaves to sin, but God set us free. Paul in Ephesians put it like this. In chapter 2 at verse 1, he said, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This passage describes you. It describes me. It describes all of us. Every one of us at one point, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but we're not dead anymore because we've been delivered. We all were walking at one time according to the course of this world, but we're not taking that course anymore because we have been delivered. Aren't you glad about that? And we don't have to worry about transgressions of the past. All of the faults and flaws that we had, all of the sins that we committed, we've been delivered from all of that. We ought to be thankful for that. Like, one of the reasons that I'm talking about this, the idea of God's delivery service, is because we too often take our deliverance for granted. Every day we ought to be thankful that we have been translated by God. We have been moved out of the land of the lost into the country of Christianity. move from outside of Christ to inside of Christ, where now we enjoy all the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places, all because we have been delivered. And we ought to thank God for that. We should never take that for granted. I'm afraid we do. I know that sometimes we take the physical blessings of life for granted, but sometimes we might take our spiritual blessings for granted even more. How often do you fall on your knees and thank God that you've been delivered from the power of darkness? That you're no longer walking, following the course of this world, or you're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We should be thankful. And especially when we consider how this deliverance came about. Let me tell you one thing about the physical delivery companies in this world. They're glad to deliver you stuff because they get paid. But we didn't have to pay anything for our deliverance. The price was paid for us. Isn't that what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and at verse 20? For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. And I want you to notice that this is really the sequence, that God did the delivering, and so now we need to glorify Him in our bodies. But we won't do that if we don't even appreciate the fact that we have been delivered. If we take that for granted, or we allow our minds to be filled with the things of this world so much where we're not thankful every day for the delivery service of God, that He set us free from sin. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God's delivery truck rolled into my neighborhood and stopped on my street. I'm glad that Jesus, through, of course, the gospel of Christ, He knocked on my door and I was willing to open it up, and now I've been set free. I've been delivered. And if you have obeyed the gospel, you've been delivered too. And we ought to thank God every single day. A day should not pass where we're not thankful for God's delivery service. And I'm sure there's some here even this morning who haven't taken advantage of God's delivery service. Don't you think it's time to make that call? I know what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and at verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And notice that word, everyone. Like, there's another difference between God's delivery service and the delivery services of this world. Like, someplace, you might live in some place where they won't deliver a pizza to your house. It might be a bad neighborhood, or it might just be someplace that's so far out that they just won't deliver to you. That's never the case with God's delivery service. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live. God will deliver to you. God will show up in your life if you invite Him in. If you, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, remember Romans 1 at verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So you have to obey the gospel. That's how you open the door and let God into your life. But if you obey the gospel, if you repent of your sins and you are baptized, Acts 2 at verse 38, God will deliver you. What He delivers to you is far more significant than a pizza. He delivers hope and happiness. He delivers mercy and grace. Don't you want to take advantage of that? All you have to do, I'm talking to those of you who may not be Christians, all you have to do is surrender yourself to the Lord. Open the door by obeying the gospel, and God will deliver you. But the key word is surrender. You have got to surrender. Some people just find it hard to do that. One of my favorite shows over the years was The Gladiator. And when that show begins, it begins in a dramatic way. The massive army of the Romans are gathered together. They have really, for all practical purposes, they have defeated the barbarians. And now they've sent a messenger into their camp to solicit their surrender. And they're waiting. They waited a couple hours in the movie, waiting for them to send back and say that they have surrendered. And then the horse comes galloping in with the man on top of it, but his head is gone. And the general, Maximus, said, they say no. They won't surrender. And one of his top soldiers, one of the high-ranking soldiers, Quintus, says to the general, some people don't know when they're conquered. Maximus said, would you, Quintus? Would I? And he's implying the answer is probably no, because it's hard to admit defeat. It's hard to see sometimes when we're conquered. But here's the thing. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you've already been conquered. You're already defeated. The only thing left for you to do is die. I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about the second death. One day you'll be cast into the lake of fire unless you take advantage of God's delivery service. You have to recognize you're living a defeated life. The devil has conquered you. You're a hostage to that old dragon. But God has the key. He can unlock the chains, but you have to surrender. I hope that you do that. God certainly has delivered those of us who have obeyed the gospel in the past. But God continues to deliver us in the present. You remember that passage in 2 Corinthians Chapter 1, verse 10, Paul, in talking about God, said, he will, that's present tense, he will deliver us. So Paul just knew that he had been delivered. He knew that God had the power, that God had the willingness, and so he was confident that in the present, God would deliver him again. And we should believe the same thing. And Galatians chapter 1, here's the scripture reading at verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. That's what Jesus did to deliver us from our past sins. But what Jesus did on the cross, it did more just than deliver us from our past sins. He says that he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from what? From the present evil age. Oh yes, we're living in an evil age. There's no doubt about that. I doubt that I'd get any deniers of that here this morning. We live in a nefarious world surrounded by the influence of the devil. There's sin all around us. And as a result of that, there's trouble on every hand. As I said in the Bible class, we all have trouble. We all know what Job said in Job chapter 14, that man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. That's just the way life is. Now, I don't know what your trouble is, but I know from time to time you have it. Like, things might be going well right now, but what you know by experience is that sooner or later, trouble is going to come knocking at your door, because that's just life. Might be financial trouble. When your bills are high and the money is low. Or it might be marital trouble. Where all of a sudden love has turned into loneliness. Friendship has turned into frustration. It might be job trouble. Your co-workers start treating you cruelly. Your boss starts behaving in a belligerent way. We've all experienced those kind of things. Even in the home, sometimes there's trouble. When children become unresponsive to the rules that you have set forth, or sometimes the parents become undependable in their duties. The point of it is, we all have trouble. One way or another, we're going to experience trouble, but thankfully, we know as God's children that God doesn't sleep on us. God never forgets about us. His eyes are always over us, and he's ready to deliver. In Psalms, once again, Psalms 121, verse 3 says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Don't we serve the same God? God never takes his eyes off us. And remember, God has been in this business of delivering people for a long time. Example after example. We all know about Joseph. Cast into prison unlawfully, unjustly in Egypt. But God raised him up from that dark dungeon that he was in to a power, to a position of power. Because God never sleeps. Even Joseph attributed that to the providence of God. We should recognize that God works in our lives providentially. We know, again, just example after example where God shows that he's watching over his people. Remember when Paul was stoned at Lystra? Left for dead. God raised him up and he marched right back into the city and preached the gospel some more. Why? Because he knew God wasn't sleeping. And God doesn't sleep on us. Whatever you're going through, you should know God is able to deliver you. But let's keep in mind, there's nothing more significant than being delivered from sin. And that's what he will deliver us from the most. Listen at this. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. See the sequence there again? God does the delivering. We do the glorifying. But we're not going to do the glorifying if we don't appreciate how God delivers us. You say, yeah, but I'm still going through stuff. I'm still having problems and difficulties in life. As I said, that's just life. We don't have a force field around us as God's children. We have some of the same problems and difficulties as people in the world. But we have a deliverer. We have someone we can stop and call for help. The Hebrews writer said it best when he said, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help. That means deliverance. That we may find deliverance in time of need. Thank God for that. But there isn't anything, again, more important than sin. I could argue that even in this context, as he previously talked about Jesus being our high priest, and in that high priest role, he helps us with our sins. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. But there is no bondage that's greater than sin. When you're overcome by any kind of sin, that's the time when you call on God for help. And he will deliver. He will come through because that's just the kind of God that we serve. But how terrible it is if we take it all for granted. I remember what the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 6. You might remember this as we studied through it. He says, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance. He obviously is talking about those who might leave the faith. But I want you just to notice in doing that, he mentions all of these blessings that we have, even right now, that we enjoy in Christ. Without going into too much detail, just think about these things. Those who have once been enlightened, that's us. Paul in Ephesians 1 at verse 18 said, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope to which you have been called, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He said, I'm praying that your eyes are enlightened, that you understand what great hope you have, and you understand what place you are in the eyes of God, that you're his inheritance. Well, we know that. Why? Because we've been enlightened. That's the blessing that we have. We have tasted of the heavenly gift. In John 4 at verse 10, he says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you're a Christian, you've tasted that living water. It involves everything from fellowship with God now and a home in heaven after a while. We know all about that. We have tasted the greatness, the grace, the mercy, the love of God. How can we take any of these things for granted? He shared in the Holy Spirit. I remember Paul in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Like I've said for 30 years, I don't really know what Paul's talking about there, but I believe it. We have the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, first of all, through the medium of the Word of God. But even more than that, in some way, when we pray, the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us in our weakness. I don't know exactly how, but He does. We have tasted that. We have experienced that. We have tasted the good Word of God. Titus chapter 2, Paul reminds us how that God trains us how to live our lives. We know how to live with self-control, uprightness, and godliness. We know all of that because we have the advantage of God's Word. How can you take that for granted? What about the powers of the age to come? Remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 11? The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. What a beautiful passage. And premillennialists say, oh, that's just talking about the millennial kingdom. There is no such thing as a millennial kingdom. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the peace that we have right now in God's kingdom. The peace that we have right now in Christ. But listen to me, that's just a taste. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? The peace that we now have in Christ will be multiplied more times than we can imagine when we finally get to heaven. We've tasted it right now. And yet we take things for granted. And that's when we sin. That's when we sometimes sin willfully. And do you know what we do when we sin willfully? The Hebrews writer talks about that. Since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. The King James says that we crucify Jesus afresh. That's what our sins do. That's what we do when we don't stop to appreciate all that God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, our deliverance in the past and even our present deliverance. We should thank God all the time, because here's the thing. Even with this kind of passage, and again, this passage is talking about something a little bit different. He's talking about those who leave the faith, and if you leave the faith, if those folks would go back to Judaism, they would have no more repentance. That is, back there in Judaism, they couldn't be restored back there. Same thing with us if we go back to the world. No more sacrifice for sin if we stay back there. But the truth of the matter is, even apart from that, we're blessed. Because when we sin, and we do take for granted all of these things that He mentions here, the tasting of the heavenly gift and the powers of the age to come and all of that, and we actually sin against God, God still is willing to deliver us. His delivery service doesn't take time out. Again, it's not like the delivery services of our day. It doesn't open at 8 and close at 9. Doors are open all the time. And we never need it more than when we're in sin. And the Bible tells us how to have deliverance. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Now watch. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the present deliverance that we can have right now. None of us are perfect. We all sin. Don't, as Paul said, don't deny that you sin from time to time. Instead, make that call. Call God's delivery service and He'll deliver you. You do that not by ignoring your sin, not by blaming other people for your sin, but by confessing your sin and asking God for forgiveness. 1 John 2 at verse 1 and 2, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's God's delivery service. Those are the mechanics behind it. God is willing to deliver us, but we have to do our part and confess and ask Him for forgiveness. We have to repent of our sins, of course. And then God will deliver us by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, with Jesus making intercession for us. We will be delivered. But let me look at one more thing, just quickly. God will deliver us in the future. And shouldn't we be like Paul? Like he just thought this thing through logically. God delivered. I thought I was going to die. I thought we were all going to die. But God delivered us. So I know He will deliver us in the present. And so He'll deliver us again, Paul said. And that is true. And keep in mind, I'm talking particularly about sin. None of this is to mean we won't have trials and tribulations in life. We will. But sin, we know God will deliver us, and He constantly does. Two things I would suggest. First, God will deliver us from the temptation of sin. 2 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until punishment for the day of judgment. Yeah, God is still in the delivering business. But notice now, the Lord knows how to deliver who? The godly. If you want to be delivered, you have to be godly. And that ties back into the idea of just appreciating all that God does for you. If you don't appreciate that, you're probably not going to live a godly life. The word godly means to have a Godward attitude. It's to be thankful for all that God has done for us. It's to have the right attitude towards God, towards our fellow man, and even towards sin. And those are the ones who He delivers, the godly. And we should appreciate that. Who can forget what Paul said to the Corinthians? No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. Listen, God is faithful. Don't you appreciate that? Have you ever tried to get a pizza delivered to you and they never came? They can't find your house or something. Or have you ever ordered a package from Amazon, supposed to be there in 2 weeks, in 2 days, and 2 weeks later you're still waiting for it? The delivery services that we have, they're really great. And they work most of the time, but they're run by humans. And sometimes they don't deliver. They don't get you what you want. You never, ever have that problem with God. He delivers every single time. Why? Because God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Whatever temptation the devil ever throws your way, you know you can overcome it because God is faithful and He has promised the fact that you will not be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape. That's your part. That's my part. We have to take the way of escape. You know who will do that? The godly. And those who appreciate God, that you may not be able, or that you may rather be able to endure it. And then one more thing very quickly. God will deliver us from the presence of sin in heaven. If we take advantage of His delivery service now, we surrender to Him, obey the gospel of Christ, and live faithfully, we'll have a home in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 24. Then cometh the end. God would have delivered up the kingdom, or Jesus, the Son, would deliver up the kingdom to God the Father. And if you have taken advantage of God's delivery service, you'll be in that kingdom. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, we learn that in that heavenly city, there won't be any sin there. It won't be allowed. We'll be delivered from the presence of sin throughout all the rest of eternity. Yes, God is in the delivery business. He is a deliverer. He has done His part. He will continue to do His part, but we have to do ours. Have you been delivered by God? Have you been delivered by the gospel of Christ? And if you have been at one time, have you been living a godly life like you should? If you don't fall into one of those two categories, you need to do something about it this morning. Why not make that call if you're not a Christian? Call on the name of the Lord. That means more than just saying, Lord, Lord. As I said earlier, you have to repent and be baptized. You have to obey the gospel. You can do that this morning. The water's ready. God will deliver you this very day if you take advantage of it. He'll translate you, transform you, carry you away out of the world into His marvelous light. If you're a Christian and haven't been living right, a child of God, you've been living in sin, repent and ask God for forgiveness. He'll deliver you. He's faithful. He's just. But you have to do your part. Whatever your situation is, if you're in an undone condition, change it. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.